Welcome everybody to Cinematica Animalia, the podcast where we talk about movies, movie monsters, and see how they might work based on their ecology and physiology. This is a supplementals episode, which means we'll be diving into a topic a little off-center. This week, I have with me my friend and colleague, Lara Vailet, who is a fellow PhD candidate at the Norwegian University of Science and Technology.
Hello!
Today, we'll be looking again at the ecological ramifications of the snap post, having seen Endgame, Avengers Endgame. Just a quick warning before we get into this, there will be a lot of spoilers here, so if you haven't seen Endgame... probably don't listen. But Lara, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do at the university, first of all?
So as Sam said, I'm a PhD candidate. I'm looking at how basically climate and hunting influence populations of wild boar found in France.
Yep, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so Lara also helps out and writes a bit for ecologyforthemasses.com. You can see her articles online, and at this point there should be an article up where she's just written on the Green New Deal,
yep.
Which you can check out. But yeah, so look, just a quick sum up for those who haven't seen it. At the end of Avengers Infinity War, which came out last year, Thanos has collected a bunch of gems, snaps his fingers, and wipes out half of
all species.
Yeah, so this is one of the issues with looking at this from an ecological standpoint with any kind of precision, is that we don't really get a very accurate idea of what he's actually wiping out in either movies.
Mm. And a problem I had too was, is he talking about abundance, which is what I kind of understood, rather than density? Because I would think that, so he's focused on density-dependent effects, essentially, right? So yeah. It would make sense that he would focus on eliminating half the density of a population, not half the number of individuals, right?
So what do you mean when you say that?
So you would think that he's focused on humans, for example, where we're a really dense population. So if you have a very dense population, then you're going to have more disease, you're going to have a limitation on resources, versus if you have a lot of individuals, but you have a large habitat, for example,
okay,
and then you're not putting pressure on the system.
So as opposed to just like straight wiping out half the population, you think you would take a larger amount out from cities, for instance?
Yeah, that would
yeah.
make sense to me, right? If you are targeting density-dependent effects. Right?
Yeah, okay. So you think that rural populations would do pretty well in the snap? Like your average country town would just be like, yeah, what happened? Like,
yeah, but, well, I'm thinking in a more like massive scale rather than on the local scale. I'm thinking of like global scale. So
yeah.
All humans were too dense. You know, there's 7 billion of us on planet Earth. He would get rid of half of us. That makes sense. But thinking about like an endangered species or one that's of a low abundance, you wouldn't want to get rid of half of, or a low density, you wouldn't want to get rid of half
yeah.
of the individuals.
Now, this is the first big question I think we should tackle. I assumed at the end of Infinity War, because, you know, you see everyone getting wiped away, but you don't see half of the grass or half of the trees in the background disappear.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I'd always made the assumption that it was all species over a certain level of sentience,
mm-hmm.
who have the capacity to absorb resources and put things out of flux. Basically, anything kind of above a human level of sentience. And
mm-hmm.
not even humans. I mean, we were ecological engineers when we were early Homo sapiens.
Mm-hmm.
And Neanderthals as well, but I don't know if you've got a really primitive planet, are you wiping those species out?
Yeah, that's a
yeah.
good question. But if you are a primitive species, you can still be have a high density and put strains on the resources.
Yes,
right?
Yeah,
so
true.
It doesn't matter how advanced you are, right? You can
yeah.
still put strain on the resources. So I
mammoths
think that's the thing.
Mammoths were ecological engineers when they were around.
Exactly.
Like if you've got a planet with a species like mammoth, are you going to wipe them out? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big question.
Yeah. My assumption was that he's using the mind and the soul stone to go for a certain level of intelligence and, like I said, sentience.
But
yeah.
How do you measure intelligence?
Exactly,
that becomes
yeah.
this big point. And consciousness, right? Like the consciousness of a species, you touch on that, but how do
yeah.
we know our consciousness is a certain way, right? But then what about the mycelium of fungi? I mean, that has a certain kind of intelligence and consciousness that's different from ours.
An octopus.
Octopus, yeah.
yeah,
each of their legs, man.
But regardless, there's a kind of an implication made, which is a little weird, during Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
So in Endgame, here's the big spoilers, they do manage to, you know, replicate the snap,
yeah.
Collect the Infinity Stones from the past. And then when that's happened, there's sort of an implication given that bird species have come back, because Scott Lang's looking out into the yard, and there's bright sunlight, and then these birds that are flooded back in.
Yes.
I took that to be symbolic.
Okay.
But let's not take it to be symbolic.
Yeah, so then you would have all birds being cut in, like the speed, the number of individuals being cut in half. We're talking about abundance here. So that's a...
The prey species being cut in half as well. Yeah. So insects, I mean, we're going through this big insect apocalypse at the moment. Adam had an interview with an entomologist, Shelley Adamo from Canada, 2 weeks ago. And one of the things she was talking about was that if we figure out what's affecting these insect populations that are dying at the moment and are kind of course correct there, those insect populations will bounce back very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So I think it's safe to assume even if their kind of species are wiped out, insects are very adaptable. A lot of insects are very adaptable anyway. So insect populations could bounce back extremely quickly.
Mm. So then you're also talking about the life cycle, because if you if you're thinking about humans, for example, we take a long time to mature and reproduce. But insects, they reproduce very quickly, and that's a big problem when we're talking about climate change and insects moving further and further north, because then they're able to reproduce over a longer span of time if there's longer summer or shorter winters and a longer period of time for them to be reproducing.
Yeah.
Potentially spreading disease.
So then you've got a situation whereby after 5 years, I think a lot of insect populations would have recovered to their normal levels.
Mm.
And then you unsnap and dump an extra 50% on top of that population.
Ooh, so that would have an even worse effect than the original. So
Can you imagine field season that year?
Oh, that would be terrible. Yeah. Just covered in insects.
Just so many mosquitoes.
But also, if you think about the populations, then if you have like the bird species, then they have way more prey, right?
Yeah.
So then they would go way over the threshold where that they could be stable, right?
Yep.
So then you'd have way too many individuals, and then you'd have big dieouts.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is so our colleague Andre Grunow-Ofstad. I should also shout out one of the guys who prompted this this conversation yesterday. He wrote an article on Forbes. I didn't agree with all of it. However, he certainly made some very good points. JV Chamari, who like I said, he's a science writer for Forbes. He wrote an article on this, and Andre had a response to it, which was, if you're wiping out life forms that are at carrying capacity, so you bring them down to half of carrying capacity, what you're doing is just ensuring incredibly fast regrowth.
Yeah.
So that when they do reach carrying capacity, they're probably going to keep growing.
They're going to overshoot it. Yeah, they're going to overshoot it, and then there's going to be bigger problems later.
Yeah, you're going to have insane levels of species fluctuations.
Mm.
So even those species who do take a while to reproduce, I mean, whew, density-dependent effects when all those other species come back later could also then potentially cause population crashes.
Also, if you think about humans, that would make sense too, because, well, if you have fewer humans, you're going to have probably food production is going to go down, right?
Yeah.
So then you suddenly bring back all of these people. Is there going to be food shortages?
Yeah. Kids, I mean, we see that people are still having babies.
Yeah.
And I mean, the population's gone from 7 billion to 7.86 billion, I think, in the last 6 years.
Wow, yeah.
So if you take it as the population has dropped down to just below 4 billion, which, by the way, a lot of people say is still well above the planet's carrying capacity.
And that was the population size in the 1970s.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy to think about. The 1970s, we had half the number of people on Earth as now, right? That's something that you can actually, that's a human time span, right?
Yeah, let's
not
get,
so long ago.
On, let's look this up and get some figures. So, population, oh, this is in Norway.
Yeah.
That's not particularly helpful.
Global.
Global, yeah. So the global population size, milestones by the billions, here we go. So we hit 1 billion probably around the year 1800, 2 billion in 1927, 3 billion only 33 years later, 4 billion 14 years after that, 1974. Mm. We're projected to hit 8 billion in 8 years' time. I think that's probably going to come a fair bit sooner. But at the moment, I know we're in the high 7 billions.
Yeah.
So you take that down to, let's say, around 4 billion.
Mm.
The population's probably going to have gotten up to 4.5 billion, let's say. So all of a sudden, when that snap happens, not only do you have 4 billion more people on the planet all of a sudden to a planet that's probably somewhat adjusted, you have an extra half a billion people.
Yeah.
That's... I mean, the Avengers are kind of the bad guys here.
I definitely could see that. Also, I think it's important to note that it was few years ago that people were talking about how the rate of growth has, it stopped being positive, essentially.
Yeah.
That didn't mean that there weren't more and more people. It was just that there was not this positive growth rate in for population growth.
It's not expanding exponentially.
Yeah, it's not expanding exponentially anymore, exactly. So if you think about a lot of European countries, a lot of developed countries, where actually the problem that we're facing now is that we don't have positive growth, and that's what our whole system, economic system, and a lot of things are based on, pensions, etc. So that's a big issue.
Let's touch on Wales and the Hudson.
Oh, God. So I Googled this because I think, I don't remember who turned to me and said about it, was like, oh, there's no way that could ever happen. But in 2016...
Might have been me.
I think it was you.
Yeah.
And I was trying not to name you. In 2016, there was a humpback whale that was seen in the Hudson. So there's been a lot of measures to kind of clean up the Hudson. And I was there in January in New York, and you can see that there's like seals, and it's, I mean, there's a lot of wildlife living there, kind of surprisingly.
Yeah.
But I mean, so Captain America being like, isn't this great? Well, that was kind of happening before. So I think that he's making a false correlation between the number of individuals kind of declining and humpback whales coming back.
Yeah. I'm not sure that having that much of a drop in people would cause cleaner water, though, as we were saying before. Particularly freshwater systems. And I want to talk a bit about this, the freshwater systems, right? If you're wiping out half of all life in a river, right? Mm-hmm. So algae, seaweed, insect, fish larvae, fish, all that sort of stuff. Your algae is going to come back really, really quickly because you're not wiping out any of the nitrogen or the phosphorus that it depends on. You're just wiping out life. Nitrogen and phosphorus isn't life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the algae is going to respond really quickly. You're going to get massive amounts of really, really anoxic freshwater ecosystems.
Yeah.
And as a result, I mean, you're going to get algal blooms that are incredibly toxic. A lot of the freshwater areas of the earth are going to just be completely poisonous for a bit. I mean, it's going to wreak havoc on your species that depend on rivers, on freshwater for survival, which is a lot of species.
Well, this is a pointing at a larger issue that Thanos really should have consulted some people about, thinking about, like, okay, if you're going to move half of a species, the spatial distribution of that, right?
Yeah.
Because if you get rid of all of the forage for fish in a stream, then the fish are going to decline, right?
Yeah.
So you need to think about how, you know, if you have something that, you know, a kind of endangered species eat, but it's kind of all over the place, so they have to really forage in a wide area, and then you get rid of everything, then that species is going to collapse,
makes
sense, right?
Now, we already touched briefly on the whole the gut biome, like microbes and that sort of thing. If you wipe out, like, half of bacteria even that live inside humans, you're wiping out that human.
Yeah, well, and if you think about any large animal, right, like mammals have the same, pretty much any mammal species that you can think of, they have, you know, they're a symbiotic organism. You aren't just you. You're a bunch of other things. You have parasites and organisms that are controlling your behavior and allowing you to digest. I mean, Captain America probably has some serious gut problems, right? Like, like that's probably...
Coral, for instance. Yeah. Coral is a combination of a plant and an animal, right?
Yeah.
Are you wiping out just 50% of the coral, or are you wiping out 50% of both? Because, I mean, depending on which 50% you're riding out, you could knock out like 90% of coral in one go.
Yeah, lichen too.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be killing a whole... And how do you define a species then? That's really hard too.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about the components or the larger thing that's made up by those different organisms together?
So, look, do you have any more points you want to touch on?
No, well, I just wanted to ask really quick, what did you think about his hypothetical snap where he gets rid of all organisms in the universe and rebuilds it and makes this happy, perfect world? I think that that's kind of impossible if you're thinking about, like, the selfish gene and how we're kind of programmed biologically to want to reproduce. So I think no matter what species is created, they're going to want to reproduce and try to reach this kind of this carrying capacity.
Yeah.
So I don't think that his solution is a long-term solution.
I don't think he was talking about like starting a universe from scratch and going the whole way through. Mm-hmm. I think he was just trying to, you know, do a Sim-style thing where you just have a pre-built universe.
Okay.
Yeah.
But how would that work for solving the issues that he's trying to solve, basically this Dead's
Independence? Look, if there's one thing we know about Thanos, it's that he's no good when it comes to resource management.
This is very true, and he really should have consulted some ecologists before doing this.
And also, I really think that Tony Stark, if he wanted to, you know, when he snapped people back, he really should have thought about knocking down the carbon content of our atmosphere.
Yeah. Like, instead of focusing on organisms, why doesn't he think about gases?
Yeah.
That should be the thing.
It should have been in his head, you know? Just
come on, carbon, it's a big
issue. How hard can it be, you know, half the carbon concentration? The parts per million, you could have knocked that down by half. We would have been, you know, unafraid of climate change for at least another 50 years, although maybe that would have had negative social effects.
Well,
people forgetting about it for 50 years.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, realistically, I think that Tony Stark probably came up with some sort of carbon sequestering thing, because, I mean, if he can make an Iron Man suit, he could probably sequester some carbon.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Now, I've just remembered one more thing, is that, so Christoph, one of our fellow colleagues here, he mentioned that if you have, like, a species that's bordering on extinction already...
Mm, yeah.
You halve that species, they're going to go extinct.
Yeah.
Like you take them below their threshold.
Yeah.
But then you bring the other half back in 5 years, and that species is still below the threshold, so they're still going to go extinct.
Yeah, it's kind of like a bottleneck effect, right? Like
exactly,
a big environmental kind of collapse a big dip in the population from some large-scale environmental situation. So that makes sense. But... yeah, so thinking about that, that's a lot of what happens there is you don't have enough genetic diversity, so that would be something else that Thanos would have to keep in mind is the relatedness of the individuals that he leaves in the population, right?
Yeah.
So if you just save brothers and sisters, you have very low genetic diversity, and then that species isn't going to be very, very resilient to any kind of environmental shift.
Yeah, not at all.
Hmm.
That would be... I think he just got the Mind Stone and thought, oh, that'll do all the work for me.
Yeah.
Look, you'd have to take so many things. Last time we talked about this, we spoke about sex. You would have to take into account.
Yeah, sex.
Have to take into account gender. You should probably take into account density. This is going to be a real complicated model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to have a lot of effects, and he's obviously not up to doing the simulations that he needs to do.
No, he's not. there was a question we found on Twitter: Would Thanos' modeling involve Bayesian or?
Oh, he would not do any Bayesian models.
Well,
he does
seem to have fairly strong priors. I don't think they're good priors. But as Andre again said, he's working with some very strong priors. Like he's got some big assumptions he's making here. So I think I think he'd be a big fan of Bayesian.
Yeah, model. I don't see him sitting around waiting for his model to converge. I don't see him being very patient with that.
No, yeah. I don't think he'd be, you know, beyond the old MCMC draws, the Monte Carlo.
That would be pretty funny. I would watch that show.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for helping me out, Laura.
No problem.
We'll be back later this week with part one of our look at Pokemon. I'll be looking at the ecology of the world of Pokemon, followed by Dave's episode on the physiology of Pikachu. Until then, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at SamParentNTNU. Lara is at Lara_Lav, if you want to contact her. Adam is Harsic Adam. We are C_Animalia. If you want to get in touch with the show, we're cinematica.animalia@gmail.com. The website is cinematicaanimalia.com. If you want to find out some of the more hardcore ecology stuff that Adam and Lara and I write, that's on ecologyforthemasses.com. And as Adam always says at the end of the episode, the movie monsters might not be real, but the science is.
Love it.
Okay, thanks, Lara.
No problem.